Oh, hey, Tom here. You know, barbecue daredevil.
You're not just a handsome man, but a powerful one as well.
Do you like handcrafted meat with hearty mouthfeel?
I like watching your mouth, bro.
That goes great at high society yachting parties or for shame eating while alone. For a whole brisket or part of a slab of ribs, call Salt and Smoke.
I cannot believe this is even on FM right now.
Call now. Back to you, Tim.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
But I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that. I'm cool like
Kenny's
that.
My theme song.
Cool like that.
As it should be.
Cool like
I switched it up from Rock Me Amadeus.
Cool we had a board meeting. It wasn't one of the emergency board meetings.
That's good.
But, yeah, it passed.
I think 80% of the membership.
I was going to say, I thought it could be 100.
No, we can pass stuff with...
What did Tim Sr. say?
He's not on the board. Not on the board. He's omnipotent.
Is he in Hilton Head? Will he be there tomorrow?
I was with him last night.
Okay.
It was my niece's fourth birthday.
Nice.
Yep. My niece's fourth birthday.
One of my favorite people, Tim Sr.
He was talking about it. He goes, boy, that's going to be a big day on Friday, Timmy. Yes, it is.
It is.
Jennings, is there a place where I can have, as they say in Columbia, Missouri, a safe space? Because I have a feeling, you know, 14 hours of alcohol intake, likely marijuana intake, perhaps meth from our audience.
It's going to be very interesting.
I just maybe need an occasional timeout.
To go. We will have an area within the...
Is there a men's card room at Normandy?
Not quite, no. Cards are played, but I wouldn't call it the men's grill.
Yeah.
I was talking with Melissa Marmar Binks and Tabitha yesterday, and I explained to them that I think it's going to get about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and the three of us are going to look at each other and go, well, this was pretty easy. This everything's going
that's
good.
That's a jinx. That's
and,
a jinx.
And then about 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon.
You'll say, isn't this over yet?
When we got 144 individuals out there, and unless it doesn't stop raining soon, we got cart path only, it could get very interesting later in the day.
Yeah, I think so. After the booze intake, absolutely. It is the Frito to open the InsideSTL.com golf tournament tomorrow, the first annual, presented by Kenricks and Bud Light. That is taking place at Normandy. The Ryan Kelly Morning After will be broadcasting live from Normandy tomorrow. Come on out. Three Little Birds for Life, our charity partner on the event. Bud Light, Kenricks, and so many other sponsors and listeners behind this event. We're very grateful for it. It is a great time in St. Louis sports, as we'll be enjoying tomorrow's festivities. But St. Louis is so excited about what took place last night in Dallas as the Blues advanced to the Western Conference Finals to take on the winner of tonight's Game 7 between San Jose and Nashville, that game taking place out in California. And joining us right now to get his perspective, it is a wonderful list of guests here that we'll have over the next hour and a half with Tyson Nash in the 9 o'clock hour, Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital at 8:30, and this gentleman brought to you by the National Blues Museum on Washington Avenue at 615 Washington Avenue. He was part of the last team to go to the Western Conference Finals here in St. Louis. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Mayers. Good morning, Jamal.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. You can imagine here how excited people are. I mean, this is something else. And it's one thing to get there. It's another thing to get there and do it against the teams and in the manner that the Blues did it, to go through the defending cup champions, to go through the team with the top point total in the West, and to do it in Game 7s. That makes it all the more special.
Yeah, there's no question. And obviously, you know, the veteran players and probably everyone included on that roster recognize that this is a great opportunity. If you had said to them, okay, you're going to go to the conference final, there's going to be no L.A., no Anaheim, no Chicago, no Dallas, they definitely would have taken that.
Is there any reason to believe that the Blues can't go all the way? I mean, I think they've proven that they can hang with the best teams in the league.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, they didn't make it easy on themselves. They were up ahead on the Blackhawks 3-1. They had an opportunity at home to put away Dallas. But, you know, sometimes through the playoffs, there's a learning curve, and sometimes you have to learn to go by going through it. And I think this group has done that. and give them credit, in particular give Brian Elliott credit for, you know, bouncing back after, you know, two series of poor game sixes. I think he would admit that. And bouncing back with great game seven, you know, performances both against the Hawks and again last night against the Stars.
And no reason, Jamal, really, to see any reason why his good play won't continue. I mean, that's one of the traits sometimes in the postseason. And he played so well down the stretch. You ride that hot netminder.
Oh, you have to. I'm a firm believer that you can't be popping around and bouncing back and forth as evidence of what the Stars went through. I think you have to identify a horse to eliminate all the excuses. That way, the end result is the most important. For example, if your goalie lets in a couple bad goals, the bench isn't looking over the shoulder. The goalie's not looking over his shoulder. The team takes that responsibility on themselves and realizes, okay, no big deal. We got to score a couple goals. So I think having a number one guy, and I believe Brian Elliott, there should be no question he is the guy that they need to ride to the end of this.
What do you think that did to the Stars last night to fall behind so early on some soft goals? It's really got to be a demoralizing thing.
It is, and I think that, you know, it just brings, to me, when you don't have a starting goaltender or you have a goaltender that's not playing well, it you know, guys end up looking over the shoulder or thinking that it's not their time. I think that, for me, I was really cognizant and was aware for how the Blues were able to start. And the fact that they came out so well showed, you know, that they were ready for it, that they were going to go for it. And I really saw, especially on the road, that it was important to come off to a good start.
Jamal Mayer is our guest on the Appliance Discounter. Phone lines, the Appliance Discounters. With six St. Louis area locations to serve you, the Appliance Discounter is the sponsor of our phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You have been a part of some great teams, of course, both in St. Louis and Cup winner. In Chicago. If you could, take me back to the teams here in St. Louis, and all of them playoff teams, and of course the President's Trophy team in 2000, but the team that last went to the Western Conference Finals in 2001, and a very good team also in 2002 that lost to that Detroit team, that 2003 team, which a lot of guys thought might be the team itself, and unfortunately lost that 3-1 lead against the Canucks, and then the final year, 04, where you guys lost to the Sharks. But taking a look at that 01 team, you guys were up against a team that, when you look back on that roster, Jamal, my God, it's probably how you look back on the 2013 Blackhawks that won the President's Trophy in the Cup, just littered with Hall of Fame names. Take us back in. You guys had just swept the Stars after exacting some vengeance on the Sharks in the first round, and you're going in to play Patrick Waugh, Sakic. Forsberg was out, but Forsberg on that roster, all these guys. What was the mindset after going through two rounds, except this time you'd swept the Stars as opposed to what this team had done, which is grind out 2 7-game series?
Honestly, you have that feeling that it's destiny and that this is your time, and you feel like, you know, this is actually going to happen when you get this far. You win a couple rounds, you start to believe that it's possible. And clearly, we thought that we had a great chance. Obviously, we lost in five. I think that either three of the games went to overtime, so it could have gone either way. It really wasn't a five-game series. So, you know, that was a tough task, obviously, but it felt like it was going to happen for us. Unfortunately, it didn't. But when you get this far, you really start to feel like, okay, wait a second. This is actually happening. We have, you know, there's four teams left. We have a real shot at this.
It seems like it's a big deal for the Blues that it hasn't just been their superstars carrying them. Tarasenko's been good. He's got seven goals in the postseason. Like last night, they got goals from six different players. That's got to be a big thing to know that whatever line you roll out there, you got a possibility of scoring.
Oh, it's imperative. I think that a lot of times the top-end players will wash each other out, and year after year, you've seen examples of guys stepping up, and you look at what the Stastny line's done with Fabry, and obviously Brouwer, what he brings to the table, his pedigree of championship pedigree, and just having that calming influence in the locker room. And I believe he's been to 8 game 7s in a row. I know him from skating with him in Chicago, and the character that he is. I thought that he would be a great fit and a great move by Army. You think about all the moves that Army's made to retool this team over the last couple of years, injecting some youth into the lineup with Parenko and Fabry and the like. And
I think that they're a much more mobile team. They used to run you out of the building. Now they can play any which way you'd like. They have a lot more skill, a lot more depth up front as well.
Jamal Mayer is our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You also do some broadcasting for the Chicago Blackhawks. I thought that was a different series. I mean, both seven-game series, for whatever reason, I felt like that Blackhawks series was better. I think the quality of play, both teams fired on all cylinders more often than in the Blues and Stars series, and it was so damn intense every single game. That was a classic series. And once the Blues got past the Blackhawks, Jamal, they felt like, I think perhaps similar to what the Sharks felt like once they got past the Kings, that, okay, we got past them, now we're here. From the Blackhawk perspective, what was that series like, and what were you thinking as you observed that thing?
Well, first of all, it was a great series. Give credit to the Blues. They were a very resilient group. You know, they're playing against a championship team that, you know, didn't go away. They're down 3-1, managed to force a game seven. I think you ended up seeing a very tired Blackhawks team, particularly their top-end guys that played a lot of hockey, but they didn't give up and pushed them right to the end, but just wasn't enough gas. And the Blues finally pushed through that wall. So I thought it was a great series, and a lot of people, I believe, thought that it was, it's unfortunate it happened in the first round, but
yeah.
You know, that's just the way it's set up right now. But great example of great hockey, and it was probably time for the Blues to push through that. And I'm glad that they didn't exhale, because it would have been easy to say, you know, okay, we've got past the Hawks and kind of be happy with that. They regrouped and realized that they've got a lot of work to do and now find themselves in the conference final.
I realize it's a bit different for you because you were able to end your career lifting up the Stanley Cup, about as good as it gets, and you did play with a few other teams. But I get the sense, especially from guys like Kelly Chase and guys who were, part of this organization and had some great teams but could never get over the hump, that they're on board in spirit, so to speak, and so excited. I mean, when we have Chase on, you can just hear the enthusiasm, not only from him, but then he talks to guys that he played with and how excited they are about what they're seeing. You can speak to it, of course, as a Blues alum, but also having played with some of those guys. What does it mean to guys, especially with this organization, who hasn't been able to experience what the Blackhawks have been able to have since 2010 with the three cups, to see the team getting here and perhaps feeling like it actually might happen this year?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the players that are playing. I think it's a huge compliment to what Hitch has been able to do. I think everybody on the outside are certainly excited for the city, excited the fact that they're getting the Winter Classic. The timing couldn't be any better for this team to be doing well in the playoffs. The local ownership group certainly sacrificed a lot and done a lot to not only keep this team here but make it a great product. And it's about time they're rewarded for some of that hard work. And it's exciting to think that they have a chance to move on. If you had told the Blues before the playoffs started, there's going to be no LA, there's going to be no Anaheim, no Washington, no Chicago, and no Dallas, I think they would have taken that any day of the week. So the opportunity is there, and now it's up to them to seize it.
Let me ask you this. It's the proverbial question that players get asked and they can't answer, even though they probably do have an opinion. I understand they can't answer. But as a broadcaster and as a former player, you can give the perspective. Who would be the better matchup for the Blues in the Western Conference Finals, Sharks or Predators?
Oh, that's a tough question. But, obviously the strength of Nashville is their D. I think that they have one of the best D that are involved offensively. I don't think they have enough offensive firepower. They're very fast. I think that would be probably a preferable matchup. I think that San Jose poses a few more challenges. They are a lot more depth up front. They play much more upbeat, much more pace than they had in the past under DeBoer. And I think that they'd be a bigger challenge. And at the end of the day, I think they just have more game breakers than Nashville do, although they keep pushing and keep finding a way. And again, they're in game seven, so anything can happen. But I would think it would be a much more favorable matchup against Nashville.
Over on the East, you already know the matchup, the Lightning and the Penguins. I don't know if anybody played, maybe Anaheim played better hockey in the second half of the season, in particular over the last 6 weeks, than the Pittsburgh Penguins. They eliminate the President's Trophy winner two nights ago in Game 6 in Pittsburgh. I would imagine, I haven't seen the odds, I would imagine Pittsburgh's the favorite in that series, Stamkos' health being a factor there for Tampa Bay. How do you see the Eastern Conference, Jamal?
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute track meet.
Yeah.
It's going to be up and down kind of game. Both teams play with a lot of pace. I think the absence of Stamkos and whether or not they can get Stroman back to start the series is a huge factor. I do believe that Pittsburgh's rolling in all cylinders, got all four lines going, and it's scary to think that Malkin and Crosby were virtually invisible in that second round, so it's only a matter of time before they break out. I think the favorite has to be Pittsburgh in that series, but time will tell, and it'll be an exciting one as well.
Jamal Mayer is with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, brought to you by the National Blues Museum. Jamal, great to hear from you, man. Thanks so much for the time this morning, as always.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Take it easy. Right, Jamal Mayer is with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, brought to you by the National Blues Museum, 615 Washington Avenue in downtown St. Louis. It's an interactive museum with videos and computer exhibits, plus live music. On Saturday, it's open 7 days a week. Check it out at nationalbluesmuseum.org. Kelly Chase coming up at 8:30. Tyson Nash at 9 o'clock. Chase brought to you by GFI Digital. I'm going to ask all these guys who they think would be the better matchup. I would imagine all will say Nashville. It's going to be tough either way. I mean, Nashville beat Anaheim. Nashville would have to beat San Jose. They would have to do it without home ice in both series. But I would imagine that they would all say Nashville, and I would imagine everybody is saying that the Penguins are the favorite to represent the East in the Stanley Cup Finals. Doug, I'm going to see if I can find some odds for you.
Okay.
Go to Bovada.
Why don't you
Boy,
do that?
I was emotional risk management, and you could do it very low risk last night with big payout once the Blues took the lead. I was able to put 100, and it was like plus 600 after the first. That's what it was.
I saw that. Yep.
It was plus 600. I'm like, I want the Blues to lose, but $600 would be fine. And then it got to plus 1,100.
You meant to say I want the Blues to win.
Of course I want the Blues to win.
But yeah. Financially, he was looking
right,
at
right, 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 right. I apologize if I didn't speak that correctly.
But
that's
what time
my emotional risk management.
Did it get pulled? Because I saw you say
once they went up
no
5-0, it got yanked.
Yeah. Then there was no line.
There was no line, yeah. All right, so here's what we got tonight. Wow, the Sharks are almost 2-1. They're minus 190 tonight on the money line. If you're bullish on the Predators, they're plus 165 for those of you who don't wager, and I know many people don't. So to explain it, that means you would have to bet 190 on San Jose straight up to win 100. And if you were to bet 100 on Nashville, you would win 165 if they were able to win. As far as the series price, they don't have it out for the Western Conference Finals, of course, because you still don't know the opponent. But in the East, Pittsburgh, even a bigger favorite than San Jose is tonight. Wow. And I do think that goes back to the fact that as good as Tampa Bay has been, they are without Stamkos. Pittsburgh is minus 200, so a heavy favorite. Doug, the Blues and Penguins did meet in the playoffs back in 1981, and Mike Liut was in net.
Oh. And who would have been in net for Pittsburgh? Les Binkley?
Barrasso? Tommy Barrasso?
Possibly, yeah. Les Binkley was a little earlier than that, I think.
I think so.
We ought to get them on and see if they were in net.
That might have been when Pittsburgh is even wearing blue and black.
Yeah, before they
went colors
with the yellow and
yeah,
black.
They decided all teams in Pittsburgh need to be wearing the same colors, so the Penguins changed.
Was that really a conscious decision?
Because the Steelers went nuts.
And the Pirates.
And then the Pirates in 79, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are family.
Yep.
You can call in. We've had one phone call. It was from Big Al.
It was big.
On Tuesday, the morning after the Blues lost, we had nothing but phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, it's a different thing when the team wins.
Everybody's angry. Everybody wants to point out flaws in others.
Jay Bomeister took hits.
And if they win, it's just, well, I expected that, of course.
314-880-0808, the Appliance Discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. We are broadcasting from the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Jennings, I need to get an oil change.
Okay.
Okay. I'm about 3,000 miles over on
you
that,
You don't
too.
Do that yourself?
No.
That's not the SLU way.
No, it isn't. Once you wear the white tuxedo and you walk down the Symphony Hall, you're good. You never have to do that stuff.
I've never changed oil in my life in a car.
Oh, you're a Kirkwood Pioneer.
I'm afraid I would ruin something.
Could you see me doing it? No.
That's Horton Watkins, though.
I don't think it's that hard. It's just a matter of getting down there. And I think if someone showed you how to do it one time, you could handle it.
We'd screw it up.
At Gateway Buick GMC, they have a newly remodeled showroom. It's beautiful inside and out. And you know what else is beautiful, Doug?
What?
The unbelievable savings they're giving out all month long. This May to reward their loyal customers and fans of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Right now, take over $8,000 off the MSRP price on an all-new 2016 GMC Acadia. That's $8,000 off. But that's not all. Score a Buick Encore starting as low as $19,800. Buick Enclave is selling for over $11,000 off ticket price, and everyone's favorite luxury SUV, the GMC Yukon, now selling $9,500 under MSRP price. It's a Gateway Buick GMC online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Gateway, the right way.
I'm going to have to check that out because I'm kind of in the market now for a
new whip.
I like those Buick Enclaves. Those are really nice.
Well, I mean, you're doing all right with what you've got from what I've seen.
Hey, man, that's a nice whip. That's a nice whip.
You know, I didn't know that you'd gotten that level, but that's nice.
Yeah, the show's doing well.
Well, the other car.
What was the fourth thing?
I have two other cars with 200,000 miles on them.
I got you.
And at this point, I'm spending, to keep them on the road, about what it would cost to make a payment on another car.
On a new one, yeah.
Right.
Get yourself a new whip, man.
That's nice.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to. I need to.
But Don Davis will take care of you.
Yes, he would.
I'm sure that he would.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he would. They had that van out there that I liked.
Doug, like, there's a van he really liked.
Raffle Castle.
Yeah. Well, it was just a nice van is all. It had a big screen TV in it and had room. I like those conversion
Room for
vans.
Stuff in the back?
I don't think I can get it in my garage, though.
Really? You'd have to build on.
Jennings, you are happily, conversing, I guess, with caller Jordan, who is participating in Foot Fetish Friday tomorrow at the Free Dotum Open. Doug Jennings just sent this to caller Jordan. Girl, you are fine and dandy like a hard candy Christmas. Can't wait. Hashtag FFF.
Oh, for crying in a bucket.
Well, I mean, now that I've got a legitimate player in the game, I've got to, you know, we got to butter up a little bit.
Okay. And how does she respond to a message like that?
I think she's still slipping a little and sliding. She'll be maybe tweeting.
She's fine as what? As fine as hard candy?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to tongue kiss her foot.
I mean, there are plenty of pictures of young Jordan in sandals. And just from
where do you find these?
I'm Facebook friends with her. I am actually legitimately Facebook friends with her.
And you can zoom in on the feet.
I don't necessarily zoom. I just look to see and she is, as I said earlier, a fine specimen.
Oh.
Have you had bad feet? And what would be a bad foot? Doug, what would, I don't know.
Clubbed foot, webbed foot.
Funny you mention it. Yeah. Two days ago, I was in a scenario where...
a scenario?
Yeah. There was a gal that I knew, and another gal was with her, and... This guy was extremely attractive.
Really? Yeah. And where was this? This was at the Village.
No, it was on a patio at a home. Kind of like
what, like Gatesworth?
Not that bad. Gatesworth. So I'm looking. I mean, this girl's, I mean, she's like strong.
She was a young 82.
I mean, she was strong. And then all of a sudden, I looked at her feet. And again, I look at the feet more for the listener.
I think so.
Because the potential.
And so you and Roderick are doing a remote.
Right. No, this was just me on my own. Which was, you know, I had a rare evening to do something.
Why, sure.
And she had really bad feet.
Now, what makes a bad foot, though? I don't know.
Her toes were not proportionate. I mean, they didn't fall in line.
Just kind of going every which way.
She had her fourth toe was way out.
Wow. The Loomster. It was the Loomster.
And I couldn't. We got to talking about stuff and, you know, this and that, and the feet thing came up, and she knew right away when the feet thing came up that
where you were going
she was in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, because she knew she had.
So she wasn't excited about this development?
No. She's just kind of.
Some women are into this.
She kind of shied away, and I said.
But you were going to keep going.
She said on her own, I got feet problem. I said,
Oh.
She said,
so
I got
it wasn't
deep
a case of her not being into it, no, so much as she knew she had a problem.
She knew. It was just was an obvious
very
situation.
Because the fourth toe was long. The fourth so between toe the fourth was, toe and the big toe, it probably looked like she had a goalpost going on her
feet. Oh, was that's it like an upright?
Play. It was yeah. It was something. You,
wide
something,
left.
So I said, yeah, I was wondering what's up with that. And she said that she had had a bunion at one time.
Oh, no. So hot.
And then she got involved with a cosmetic foot surgeon.
Sure.
And he didn't do as good a job as she would wanted, and then she had to go back and do it again. And she said, if there was one thing I could change, it'd be my feet.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow. And she was fine.
I mean, fine.
But had a foot issue. And is that a deal breaker for you, boy?
You could overlook that.
Well, not me, because it's not a foot thing. But this right.
But for some of the listeners, it might have been.
Yeah, that's why I was checking it out. But I kind of felt bad for her because, I mean, everything else is, like, on point.
Really?
And then she's got foot.
Yeah, that's a bad beat. It's kind of that way with cankles.
Yeah?
I feel terrible for women with cankles.
What's your position on the planter's wart?
I don't like anything wrong, necessarily, with a foot. I like the foot to be right.
All right.
But it's not the end of the world.
Kelly Chase is on hold and listening to this.
Oh, no.
After the Blues win last night in advance of the Western Conference Finals. He's brought to you by GFI Digital. Chaser, any thoughts on what you were hearing while you were on hold?
It's Thursday's fetish day, is it?
Oh, no.
Friday. We're just teasing Fridays. Is what we're doing. Yeah, we're getting everybody ready.
I got you.
How about them Blues?
How about them Blues? Yeah. You know what? It was... I guess, you know, when you play a seven-game series, you expose the weaknesses of a team. And unfortunately for Dallas, you know, that's been one of their Achilles heels is their goaltending. And I think last night, you know, it's weird. I mean, I heard there was a lot of power outages, and I heard there was, you know, there's a lot of people listening, you know, that otherwise would have been watching because they couldn't catch that on the tube. But I will tell you that one of the comments that I made after the Tarasenko goal was disallowed was, It's going to be interesting to see how Kari Lehtinen responds because I think that goal rattled him. It's one thing to not get your hand on the puck that Fabry scores, but that goal from Tarasenko that went in from Tarasenko's shot, even though they got caught themselves a break, really affected him, his psyche, I believe. And I'll tell you what, Stastny scores one that should never, well, I shouldn't say should never go in. It was a great, great play by Stastny to make a play right there. But most importantly, that Berglund one has no business going in, and that broke their heart. And I credit Lindy Ruff because he said after the game that this one's on me. I thought maybe he was rattled. I tried to get them back on the rails in the first TV timeout and try to get him, you know, comforting him. Maybe I should have taken him out when it was two and we still had a chance. But listen, the guy on the other end for us, he was so good. He, you know, I'm sure Dallas outchanced us last night. And certainly we know they outshot us. They lose 6-1. You play a different game when you're up like the Blues were, so they weren't as, you know, they weren't pressing like they could have stayed doing. I thought Dallas had a push at the start, and then St. Louis came back pretty well and were resilient. But, boy, I'll tell you what, in the seven-game series, does it open up some holes for you? And it's, I think depth and goaltending was the real difference.
Yeah, we've heard people say in St. Louis for years that you build your team from the goal out, and I guess we've seen the example of that. The Blues have had dynamite teams in recent years, but without that star goalie, it's just hard to make it through the playoffs.
What's crazy is that the guy was sitting there in our own locker room and we weren't playing him.
Yeah.
You know, I guess when you look at it like that, certainly it makes a difference. It makes an impact on your team. We know we've seen the movie. We've lived the movie that Dallas lived last night, whether it was Roman Turk and that or whomever it was, when we went through countless goaltenders and we had such good teams. So I think it's interesting to note that, you know, that Brian Elliott certainly was outstanding in there, but you don't expect to lose a hockey game in the playoffs or lose a series because your goaltending wasn't where it should be because the Blues have got two guys that are extremely capable, and I think that's, you know, that's outstanding. And we're going to the conference finals, and the city's excited, and I can't be happier for the fans. I mean, if you think of the lean years, it's so nice to walk around town and see how proud that the fans are of their team and the city, and I think that's the fun part.
Chaser, I saw Troy Brower say this, and I believe a couple of other players said this. I would imagine you may be aware of what was said, but might not have been there to hear it. But
Apparently, Hitchcock went all Herb Brooks the night before the game in Dallas, and it stuck with guys. I'm sure you have heard, God only knows how many speeches from coaches dating back to junior days, I would imagine, all the way through your time in the NHL, and maybe been privy to some here as a broadcaster. But something that he said on Tuesday night in Dallas resonated with the team, and I'm not going to sit here and say that that's the reason they won, but guys did bring it up on their own, and Hitch was asked about it after the game, and he said that's private, but he said, you know, that you have to seize this moment. When he started out, he thought it was almost like a birthright to go to conference finals or Stanley Cup finals because he kept going to them in Dallas. Then he got there in 04 in Philadelphia, and then he hadn't been back all the way until 2016. And that message, he said, had to be conveyed. And based on the fact that the players were bringing it up involuntarily, it sounds like it resonated with them.
I think I brought it up to you guys on the last...
You did. You did.
On the last show. As a matter of fact, I heard that I may have even used the word you're not supposed to use on the radio. I guess I'm podcasting.
I have.
Yeah, the S word. That'll change.
But the truth is that's what happens. You believe... And I talked about it. You believe when you're a young guy, your resiliency, and you can do anything, and you got the sheet armor on, and you can run through walls and all of that. And plus, on top of it all, that you're always going to get an opportunity to win. And then when you get done, and you're done, and the sweat's done dripping, and you realize you haven't done what you've accomplished. You've accomplished a great deal as a kid. You grow up, you know, playing those games in your head and dreaming to do what you've done in the NHL. But I can tell you, no kid does all of that and doesn't dream of lifting the Stanley Cup, and you're done sweating and you don't get to. You don't get many opportunities. Last night, Al MacInnis said to me, it would be a real shame not to win this game because we may never have another opportunity to have this good a team that's got this great of opportunity to win the Cup.
Wow.
That's Al MacInnis, who's won the Cup, who played on it. Geez, if you look at some of the teams he played on, forget here in St. Louis. The teams in Calgary that knocked on the door so many times and didn't win cups, and he won one cup in all of those years of great teams that he played on. You guys, that's exactly what Hitch is talking about. I mean, Hitch came in and he had a good team and a veteran team, and they knew how to manage themselves at times. But when things start going south on you a little bit, you start to scramble for answers, and you look around, and all of a sudden you have half of that depth, or you have a goaltender whose game slipped a little, or whatever it may be that maybe changes your team and your perspective has to change, because you now know just how hard it is to win that thing. So those guys never lost the opportunity to move forward and see where they could advance. I mean, no matter who they play, it's going to be a real tough slug with either Nashville or San Jose. But I can tell you that they've set themselves up in a perfect position, knowing that they get home ice advantage for the rest of the playoffs if they continue to win, no matter who advances.
Kelly Chase with us on the Appliances Counter phone lines. He's brought to us by GFI Digital. Inside STL has been a client of GFI Digital for years. We recommend you make your business a client of GFI Digital as well. They have you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. They're online at GFIDigital.com. I asked Jamal Mayers this. We'll have Tyson Nash on at 9 o'clock, Chaser. And I'll ask you, of course, who do you think would be the better matchup for the Blues in the Western Conference Finals? I think I know what you're going to say, but I wanted to make sure.
Well, I mean, they're 4-1 against Nashville, and I'd love to just go up to Broadway and figure out what I can do for the evenings in Nashville. San Jose, 1-2. They play a higher-paced game, and San Jose's made a lot. I've told you guys this too since the start. I think San Jose is the best team in the West. And they've made 11 or 14, one of the, I can't remember, I counted, somewhere in that neighborhood changes from last year's team. So you still keep your core of Marlowe, Pavelski, Logan Couture, Thornton, you know, Burns, and Vlasic. And then you go out and add, you know, Ward and Donsky and Jones and Nett. Like, all of a sudden, this team has got a ton of depth that it never had before, and yet of course, he's hurt, I mean, all of a sudden, this team is like, whoa, they got the ability to score in four lines. Their defense has got more depth. You know, Paul Martin's there, and he's added some experience to them and on the back end. So it certainly is a tougher team to play. That doesn't take anything away from Nashville. But I think for the style of St. Louis Blues play, they match up much better against against Nashville, just based on the fact that there's a lot of similarities in the team. Both goaltenders are fantastic, and they don't have to play. They don't have to play that same speed pace. They just played two of the fastest teams in the league in Chicago and in Dallas. High scoring, high flying teams. San Jose's every bit as good as both of the team. Well, in my opinion, I told you that I think that they were the best team in the West.
Yeah. You've been calling your shot on this stuff, dating back to saying you're worried about the Minnesota Wild in 2015. So you've been hitting the nail on the head. So I guess we'll make sure that we're pulling for the Predators this evening. Plus, I think fans would just love to road trip next week down to Nashville to enjoy Broadway, like you were just making reference. Real quickly, and this is more of an objective than subjective question, and I thought you might be privy to the information. How come the game one is on Sunday instead of Saturday? I know people at the Blues, at some anyway, were thinking that the game was going to be on Saturday. Is it because the game's on the West Coast tonight, and so they moved it back? Is that the reason? Do you know anything about this?
All availability, and again, you know, I think it benefits us all. So you're looking at if Nashville wins that extra day, I mean, it's a day of travel. Nashville's played, you know. They've been out on the West Coast back and forth, and those travel days catch up to you. A few years ago when Vancouver went to the finals, they had over 35,000 miles in the air before they get to the finals, whereas Boston was sitting on the West Coast busing to games. It was it makes a difference. So I think they wanted to get that extra day as well as the building availability.
I would think it would. And even in this series for the Blues, it's 3 hours one way to San Jose or 40 minutes to Nashville. To add that up, I mean, these guys are only human, and they've been going at it now for 2 or 3 weeks already.
Yeah, it's been interesting, certainly. Like the first, you know, they played a month of hockey already and have played 14 games. That's a tough month. And then you add in back-to-back trips. If you're playing San Jose, much, you know, and here again, here's Nashville doing the exact same thing. They're going to play 14 games within, you know, just under a month. And if you look at any month in the schedule, if you got 14 games in a month, they're going to tell you that's the busiest month you'll have. I can guarantee you that doesn't add up. So it certainly does make a difference on the body but this is where you really see the resiliency in teams. Like I said, I think that what happens in a lot of these cases is that people don't realize just the margin of error and how slight it is, but when you got a team that, you know, that has that resolve, then it makes a difference, because those little things, little injuries, little an extra game having to play, all of those things make such a difference in a series. So maybe that's an advantage to the Blues at the travel schedule at San Jose's had. I'm not sure. I will tell you that for me, you know, I would much rather be going to Nashville where it doesn't have that same wear and tear.
I saw you on Twitter wearing a referee's shirt.
Yeah, what's going on, Jason?
You're thinking about a career change?
Yeah, you know what? I think the best tweet that was in the back, aside from all of the tweets on how heavy I am, I made that reference myself. Was one of the ones where one of the guys said I didn't realize. I thought they would have had better accommodations in locker rooms for the referees because it was taken in the back washroom. there was an NHL referee jersey hanging in the supply room in the back of the locker room, and I just happened to be, you know, having a beer at the back of the locker room, and I looked kind of over my shoulder towards where the bathrooms were, and there's this referee jersey. So I said, I got to put that on. That's just too good. So I got it on, and I've been having some fun with it. Certainly, I got a couple of great pictures with it.
It was a good look last night. You got the playoff beard going, I see, as well.
Yeah, I'm getting everything from Santa Claus to Kenny Rogers, who, Lord knows, I haven't had quite the surgeries Kenny Rogers has.
You can't recognize him anymore.
None of them on my face. It looks like I think he's just got a screw on the back of his head, and then he just tightens it about every 2 months, and just pulls everything back just a little bit farther. I look like the old Kenny Rogers, maybe, but my favorite one was the Dos Equis man.
Oh yeah, so, most interesting in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was a great line about that. Somebody tweeted, yeah, he's a Dos Equis man. He just came back from the Virgin Islands, and now they're just the islands.
It's nice.
If I would have only been so lucky and been that young.
Kelly Chase with us. He is brought to you by GFI Digital, and he joins us on the Appliances Counter phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You always have these tales from behind the scenes that the whether it be on the broadcast or would you just see pre or post game. Your Al McInnes story would be an example of that. Anything you saw in the room last night from the guys? There was a great shot on Sportsnet of all the guys walking off the ice and celebrating as they walked into the locker room. Anything that stood out to you, whether it be with the coaches, some of the guys you played with, whomever last night that you'll remember from that Game 7 win, Chaser?
But just watching the sense of accomplishment, especially out of the guys that have been here a long time, you know, with Alex Steen and Backes and, you know, guys like that, Petro, I think that's a sense of accomplishment. And the other thing is, I mentioned this to you guys in the first round, it's not like they're excited and they go off the ice and they have their fun. The plane is like chaos. I mean, they got the music cranked up and they're in their shorts and T-shirts and they're playing their cards in different areas and laughing. And it's great. And they've been like that all year. So you have a sense of them coming together even more right now. And I think that's awesome. You know, they get their Nathaniel Ratcliffe and the Night Sweats song going after the game and have their laugh. It's a unique group. I would say Panger made the comment to me last night. He goes, this is my favorite group that I've been here of guys that all get along and literally all band together and are good people. It's my favorite group that I've seen in 7 years. So I have to agree with them. I think I think a couple of years ago there was a real opportunity there with all the injuries. They missed that opportunity. And I think they see that ahead of them right now again and have this chance to do something special. They already have. They already have done something special. If you look at the way the West is structured, this has been really hard. They played the Stanley Cup champions and the number one team in the West, and they've dethroned both of them. So they've already have a sense of accomplishment, but I can tell by the group that they're nowhere satisfied and nowhere do they believe that this is good enough and they've got what they've accomplished. I can tell you that the ability to recognize that you don't get many of these opportunities, they have that in, and they have enough guys that are around that to recognize that. You know what's funny is I watched that game last night, and Steve Ott brought such a great amount of energy to that game. It was just awesome to see how he participated and was excited and kept his wits about him when he wasn't playing, and he's a seasoned veteran, and this is what he wants to play for, and I thought he was awesome. And then you get Alex Steen, who's out there. They've played him in every position but goal. And yet he just keeps marching and doing, you know, the things. I mean, Steen was one of the hardest workers on the ice last night. And I think that when you see those guys come off the ice and you can tell that they have a sense of accomplishment, it makes you feel like there's still a lot of good things to come. And you know that, you like you guys and the fans and the people that are paying attention recognize that there's been a lot of effort put in and that they're continuing to give you that.
Yeah, it is that case, and it is phenomenal to see. And you see guys, you know, I thought last night, Chaser, again, there have been so many times over the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you have been saying this stuff since October and November. And when we had John back in November, you're like, I don't know how they have the point total that they have considering the injuries that they've been dealing with, but here they are. It speaks to the word that we keep hearing over April and May, which is resilience. But last night, it wasn't really resilience so much as it was a clear, different message and execution by how they started the second period. You saw how Dallas played when they were up 3-0 in St. Louis on Monday night, and all of a sudden the Blues are just dominating them as Dallas goes into a shell. Instead, the Blues don't go into that shell. They go on the aggressive, and David Backes scores to make it 4-0. And at that moment, you go, yeah, they're not going to let this one slip. It's like they made it a case amongst themselves in that first period intermission that we've got this, but we're not going to change our game. We're going to keep coming at them and not let them do to us what we did to them in St. Louis in Game 6.
I have to be honest with you. Joe Buck sent me a couple texts, and I said, I don't know why I have a feeling we're going to need 4. And my brother sends me a text, and, you know, if you've followed hockey for a long time, there's a fight you could probably YouTube right now, Joe Koster fighting Jim Kite, and Jim Kite was a tough, tough customer. And of course, we know how tough Jim Kite, Joe Koser was. So they get in a fight, and Jimmy Kite is knocked out in the fight, unfortunately for him. Boy, it's just a nasty fight. So we had this saying around home because Joey was from there. Good night, Jim Kite. And I actually pasted the message I sent to Joe. I don't know why I feel like we're going to have four. When Backus scored, my brother sends back. There it is. Good night, Jim Kite. It was great. You know, and it's funny. I got done the game. I went down to the locker room for the last TV timeout and was watching on the monitors. And as the guys came off, Mike Caruso did a great job of getting, you know, so many players to talk to and the reaction of guys. So I'm down there, and I'm not checking my phone at all, but it's just going hot. We get done, and I go, well, that was fun. And I walk into the locker room to grab a beer, and I look at my phone. I got 76 text messages. So I look, and I show Jimmy Corsi. I go, look at this, 76 text messages in the last 25 minutes. And he goes, we're going to have to build more wagons. But it's fun. It's fun to see. You know, like you said, it's fun to see the people excited. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I think everybody's happy around here. Everybody kind of expects it now. That might be the dangerous thing.
Well,
we just think
still,
we've come this far.
You're still a little guarded. I mean, you're still a little guarded because we know this history of the team. But this is a different team. You know, Kelly talked about it. The top to bottom, the effort. I mean, and the fact, Kelly, that even despite 14 grueling games in a month, they're pretty damn healthy.
You're right about that, and that's a great point to bring up because I think, you know, Jamie Benn, who is their best player, so they're without Sagan, and then Jamie Benn, from what I understand, had a broken hand in this series, as well as some other injury that he was playing with. So I think the only time I saw Jamie Benn really wire a shot was last night when it was 4-0. He tried a one-timer from the half wall down in St. Louis's end on the right side in the second period, and it went all the way around, and he went directly off the ice and sat down with his head down. So obviously, you know, the Blues caught some breaks with that part of it. We've seen it when it's the other way. And when you say, you know, we're guarded against the team because of the – like, you know, again, I made this point. We're not playing Little Sisters of the Poor. There's another team out there that has some say in it too. So it's not that so much you have to be guarded. It's almost like, look, there's another group out there that is – you know, has the same attitude that we're talking about right now. There's some guy talking on the air in San Jose, whether it's Brett Hedekin or Jamie Baker or Grimson and Chris Mason in Nashville, and they're saying the same thing. Like, they know there's very few opportunities and a lot of things have to go right for you to win. So in order to have that success, you know, you have to have a lot of things, and health is one of them that has to go your way.
It's just one of those things. You know, I think there are a number of guys my age, Chaser, who grew up on that whole Oates, your 91 team era, and it emblazons into you, really forever, a love for the game. There'll be kids who were, you know, 12 years old in 1999 who were probably more heartbroken about the Rams moving than anybody else because it was a part of their childhood. And so you have young people right now who otherwise might not have been paying attention getting on board with the Blues, the organization, and the sport, not only because the team is winning, but they're playing these seven-game series against an arch rival and also the number one team in the Western Conference, and it makes this the event in the metropolitan area for 3 million people that they're paying attention to. And so not only does the organization get short-term return on investment by having another round and, of course, the excitement of a Stanley Cup pursuit, but also there's long-term payoff for the game and the organization because people are getting on board, and right now the Blues own the marketplace.
And you're absolutely right, and it couldn't come at a better time. And the announcement yesterday of the Hardee's Iceplex that's going to close, we've been working extremely hard out in Chesterfield to try and redevelop a facility out there so that you don't have 750 orphans out of a place to play. If you look at what's going on right now, you got, you know, this could all come together timing-wise for the Blues because there certainly has to be some community step up, or we're going to, you know, because we want to grow the game and not deplete the game so it, a year from now we're going to lose three sheets of ice. We got to have an answer for it, and we hope that we'll be able to work with the city and do something. And it's funny you bring that up, because if you look at what's going on just today, I'm sitting in front of the TV right now watching France play USA in the World Championships, and you've got two St. Louis kids that played in that wow. complex in Weidman and Maroon. You got Bishop playing down in Tampa that's still in the playoffs. You got Stastny and Butler that are here in St. Louis playing in the playoffs. You got Condra playing in Tampa, who played for St. Louis for the Bandits. You've got all of these kids that have had opportunities. Then you look and you've got five St. Louis kids that go in the first round of the draft. That hasn't happened to any city in any not in Chicago, not in Boston, not in Minnesota, the big three, not in Michigan. Has there been five kids out of the same area drafted in the NHL in the first round? Are you kidding me? And probably another four that could go in the draft that are 97 or 98 birth year. And so for the St. Louis Blues to grow the game, this could be the perfect storm for people to recognize that, hey, there's a lot of kids that have benefited from the game here, and it started, honestly, it started with Brett Hall and all the goals he scored. And so this might be a great opportunity right now to capture an audience that's growing up as you did with the game and the excitement. And you know, kids are going to go to a hockey game. You take your kid to a hockey game for his first game right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs, we have a fan for life.
Yep, so, you're exactly right, man.
One thing you guys want to do, I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen the commercial that's done? It's about the cup. I tweeted it a couple of days ago. It's done in Saskatoon about a gentleman that used to watch me play, and he lost his eyesight to diabetes in 88, which was my last year. And he goes to all of the games with his son, and his young son commentates the game. You watch that little video. The NHL did it, and just, you know, if you Google it or go on Twitter and pull it up, it's the most impactful video. What a great job by the league or CBC or NBC, whoever did this. Phenomenal, most impactful thing. And just what that Stanley Cup means and about what the game means. If you can't feel, I'll retweet it here in a bit. If you can't get emotional or feel what this is about after watching that, then you'll just never get the game.
Let's see. Truly one of the most moving things a hockey fan can watch. I was proud to wear the jersey when I played in Saskatoon. Is that the tweet?
If you send that out and watch it here in your next break, you guys will go, wow.
All right. I'm going to retweet it right now. So for our audience who wants to see it, it's at ChaseandPucks39 or at T. McKernan. I'm going to take a look at it during the commercial break. Chaser, great stuff, man. So happy for the organization, but guys such as yourself who wore the blue note, and I know a lot of your fellow teammates are thrilled about what these guys are doing and looking forward to Sunday night, whether it be against the Sharks or the Predators. Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital. Thanks, brother.
Okay, buddy.
There he is, Kelly Chase with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I love talking to him. Shannon of the St. Louis Blues.
That's a great description. And his passion, I mean, I've said before, and Doug might have even been there covering it, the man cried when he got traded at the airport. I mean, that's how much he cared about this town, and he mentioned the kids. And I thought it was interesting to hear Kelly talk about losing the three sheets of ice. If you haven't heard, it kind of got out quietly yesterday. I guess the Hardee's Ice Complex is being sold or has been sold to Top Golf, which is...
It's a big thing in Arizona.
It's a big thing. I hope it goes great here, and we can talk someday about the concept of Top Golf. But to see the impact that Brett and other guys had on the youth hockey in St. Louis, and Tim, you've pointed this out before, a lot of these guys have stayed and stay coaching, and their kids are playing. And I love Kelly's comment. You take a kid to one of these playoff games right now, if they're not a fan, if they don't become a fan, they just don't get it.
Yeah, well, they're a fan for life because you'll have that energy. It's similar to me. I mean, I happened to go to a Cardinal game for the first time at 5 years old in 1982. Lonnie Smith hits an inside-the-park home run. The next day, Brummer steals home. It's probably why I'm here.
Yep.
So you have Glenn Brummer to blame for this. But then 2 months later, they win the World Series. So if you are an 8-year-old, 12-year-old, whatever the case might be, and you go with your parents to a Blues playoff game, or if you're just at home and watching this, and not only do you get the excitement of Stanley Cup playoffs and your team winning, you get game sevens and wins in game sevens and the atmosphere, and if they can keep going, what it does for the organization. And like what Chase said, you're not just talking about the fans, but then these guys stick around, and then guys pick up the game, and 20, 30 years later, you see five St. Louisans drafted.
No doubt.
Because these guys stick around, and they coach kids from the area up. We got to take a break. Tyson Nash going to join us on the other side of the break. We continue with all St. Louis Blues coverage. It's brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. They're the ones providing all of this coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We're so grateful for them, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and also one of the sponsors of tomorrow's golf tournament at Normandy. Tim McKern and Doug Vaughn, Jennings Jr. with you. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour, coming up next on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.